Hey everyone, if you're interested in becoming a medical assistant, then please stay tuned for this episode. Hi, I'm Kiki.
And I'm Kemi.
And you're listening to
Your Advisors Will See You Now, a podcast that will help you to figure out all of your options for life after high school.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Your Advisors Will See You Now. We are here with our career chat series. It's just a thing, I don't even know if it's a series anymore. We just do career chats.
Yeah. And so it's consistent.
it's just career chat. So we have been interviewing for like the last year or so people in various careers. They're just giving insight into what they do. So hopefully if you're interested in this career or thinking about something, you can get really great insight into what these people do in their day to day. So today we are joined by a special guest. This is Cindy Truesdale. So Cindy, she didn't really have a bio, which is fine. Cause I was like, I figured Cindy's very humble and she was just like, she's just here to talk and be here with us. But Cindy has been a medical assistant for about 20 years. Now.
It's been about 24.
Okay, very cool. Yeah, so 24 years. Medical assistants have a huge role in the medical field. So you'll hear from Cindy about what she does. But Cindy and I have known each other like going on, maybe it's been about 4.5 years now, I feel like. Going on 5 years. So Cindy was one of my advisees at my previous role as an academic advisor. And I wasn't like her advisor. I don't think we had assigned advisor at the time, but like I met her once and Cindy like always just checked in with me, like asked about my family, asked about how I was doing. I told her I wanted to be a PA. This is the dream like back in the day, but she always was like checking in to see like how my career goals were going. And then she just always updated me about her academics. Cindy's super brilliant, like working a full-time job, has a family and was still doing well in school and is still doing well in school. So we just have formed a friendship from that time 5 years ago. I got to see her graduate like 2 years ago. So it's been a very special friendship and we're happy to have you here, Cindy. So thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course. So just to get started, can you just tell us what your role is and what you do, like what you do, please?
So my role as a medical assistant, has had many different avenues because as a medical assistant, you could be administrative, which I've done that in some settings to where I was just doing appointments and answering phone calls and doing insurance, collecting payments, things like that, to more of a clinical role, which I've done the longest in most of the offices where I'm assisting the provider, whether it be a doctor or a PA, in surgeries, to refilling medications, explaining pre and post-op to patients, making sure patients understand the medications that were prescribed to them and how to use them, answering any kind of clinical question that may come into the office because we're the go-between the patient and the provider. Because, of course, as many of us know, when you call the doctor's office, you don't speak to the doctor, you speak to someone. So just doing those kind of things, making sure that the instruments are cleaned and sterilized, to overseeing the other clinical staff, because I've been a nurse manager at the dermatology office that I was at for 14 years as well. So,
very wow. Cool. Hi, Kim. I'm going to jump in, Kiki. Yeah, I found that so interesting because there's a different jump, like you were saying before. You can work in administration, and then you're like side by side with a doctor and like prepping and then helping once a patient is like finishing out too. So, such a big jump. Yeah. Can you talk about a little bit of the educational background? Like, I know you worked with Kiki before, but can you talk a little bit about the courses? And did you have to take different courses if you wanted to focus in administration or working more with patients?
Sure. So the course load basically taught us how to do both. So they taught us the administrative side as well as the clinical side, because our technical term is a medical office assistant. So they made sure that we could do either role within the clinic, which was nice because some people prefer just more of the administrative side. Others prefer more of the clinical side. So being able to have that liberty to do both is nice. The classes. So I went to King's College for my medical assisting certificate, and the classes consisted of from learning how to do surgery setup and cleaning and sterilizing instruments to medical terminology, to medical billing and coding, to honestly, they even had us do keyboarding and typewriting so that we'd be able to type, you know, pretty fast, because that was when the transition was beginning, going to more EMR settings. So they wanted us to make sure that we had that in our wheelhouse. To really just, how to take a complete history on a patient. So when they come in and you're asking them all their background. So we had to learn how to do SOAP notes, and then also biology and human anatomy and physiology, but on a more scaled down level than what I have taken in other courses at this point. So
mm-hmm. can you share, so when you were, you know, thinking about what you wanted to do as your career, how did you land on becoming a medical assistant?
Because King's College was 10 months and I could be out working.
There you go. That's it. And that's, I was going to mention too. So medical assisting programs don't last long at all. Like really, yeah. Like less than 12 months is typical, right?
It's typical. I have heard some being as long as 2 years, yeah. Which I was like, really? But
yeah, I know.
That was that school. Yeah. Typically they're anywhere from about 10 to probably 13, 14 months max, I would say.
And I'll ask this too. I think I know, but just for listeners. So did you have like gen ed in your program? Like, you know, like the English, the math, the social sciences?
Not really. So here it more towards it almost being like a technical school. So right. We really only took the classes that we need for the most part. I think we may have had what they called an English course, but I wasn't writing papers and stuff like that. So.
Right. And I was going to differentiate because I think like CP has like a, you can do a diploma program, which is like the 12-month one. And then if you want to get your associate's degree, that requires a gen ed. So it depends on what kind of school you go to. So for anyone listening, if you're thinking about becoming a medical assistant, like Cindy mentioned, like there's a technical school, which, you know, Kim and I talk about this all the time, which is just like focused on what you want to do. It's not really, that doesn't include the English, the math, the history classes, which some students think are random, but they can be necessary sometimes. But if it's technical, they tend to be shorter and just, again, more focused on what your career is going to be. Whereas if you're going to like a community college to get your associate's degree in medical assisting, for example, it's going to require the gen eds too, if you want to get that associate's degree. So just to differentiate why the time, like length of time of the program can be shorter or longer.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for talking about that too, Kiki, because we always talk about too, like, all right, some people don't want to be in college for a long, long time. They don't want to be in school for a long, long time. So at least they know that there's two options if they want to go straight to a training school. And yeah, that makes so much sense too, because in training schools, you don't have to take gen eds. But if you're a person that's like, oh, well, maybe I want to get my associates and do it that way, because maybe I might want to tackle on another major later on, get your gen eds done that way, and then go through path.
So. Yeah, that was one of the most popular programs because it was like so short. I think a lot of students they figured out like, oh, this is not long at all. So that was the appeal. A lot of students like, oh, I'm only here for 12 months. The only thing I will say, and I'm not sure how every school is. So again, Kamina, I always say, just do your research. At a community college, you may have to apply to a medical program. So that may require that you take some gen ed to get like points or things like that. And that may lengthen your time, because they have application cycles. So just do your research. If a technical school is not going to be super expensive and it works for you, then apply to a technical school. But like you're saying, Kimmy, too, if you're thinking about getting another degree, it might be good to get those gen eds under your belt just to have them out of the way. So just do your research.
Mm-hmm. Unlike me, I kind of had to start all over when I went back to school. So because I did gen eds and stuff. So
how long was the total amount of time that you were in school for?
For medical assisting?
Mm-hmm.
10 months.
10 months, and then you said you went back again, or was that part?
I went back to school in 2018.
Oh wow, okay. And then, but also right now, I think you're on your path to becoming a PA, so that's probably why you got you. So that's why you went back for more. Okay, just clarifying for the listeners. Okay, awesome. So I wanted to ask too, because you mentioned before that you worked in like a dermatologist's office at one point. And so when you're studying at school, is there like any specific focuses, like if you wanted to work in dermatology or if you wanted to work for general practice, is there any different focus that you have to take in school?
No, typically with the program, they teach you basics for working in any medical office. And then when you get to that office, whatever their field of study is, they train you for what their needs are. So when I was working at the dermatology office, I'd come from pain management, and dermatology was a completely different wheelhouse than, of course, pain management was. So it took a little bit for me to gain my confidence in doing it. But once I did, it became, you know, secondhand knowledge to me, like I'd been doing it forever.
Mm-hmm. And that's pretty cool, too, because at least you can have variety in the field, too. So if you want to branch out to like a different sector, at least you have that option. That's pretty neat.
Yeah. Because then you're not stuck in one particular field.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned at the beginning, excuse me, a little bit about, about what your role is, like what your tasks look like. So for somebody listening, can you talk about like what your current day-to-day looks like? So from like the time you come in, what your process is?
So currently I work at a primary care office or internal medicine office. So my role... Pardon me as well. My role looks like, because I'm not doing really any administrative at this office. So I'm just doing clinical. So we come in, we assess the machines that we'll be using, from the urinalysis machine to the point of care testing, things like that, that we're doing in the office to make sure that they pass quality tests for the day. We get the exam room set up, get our tables and things set up for the patients that are going to be coming in. And because we do draw labs in the office, we go ahead and kind of get prepped for those patients to come in, because typically they have to come in fasting, and those are back-to-back patients in the morning. So we make sure we're ready for that. Then patients start rolling in, and depending on what they're here for, we call them back, ask them their reason for care. If it's like a physical, then we, you know, get them undressing and then prep for the provider. If it's just for labs, we see what those labs are, and then we make sure we draw those. If they're a sick visit, we find out what's going on. The clinic I'm working at right now has a pharmacy on site, so that's convenient for patients. So the provider will see them, send their medications over. They can literally go out the door and the pharmacy's right there and pick up their medicines. In the office, if we need to do any point of care tests, like a strep test, flu test, COVID test, urinalysis, then once the provider puts in the order, we'll get those tests ran. And then we kind of notify the provider of the results. And then if they want to double check, then they will. We also do cultures and things, but those have to get sent out to the lab. And then once the patient is done, send them up to the front desk to either check out or, you know, head on out. Clean and sterilize the room for the next patient. If we have any callbacks for prescriptions or lab results or medication questions, then we make sure throughout the day we're trying to stay on top of those so that it doesn't, you know, we're not inundated with all of them at the end of the day. And then once the day is over, clean up, put everything back where it goes, and go home.
Mm-hmm. Straightforward. And you, just like listening, somebody, I mean, I'm thinking like, oh, there might be overlap between a medical assistant and a nurse. Can you like differentiate what those roles, like the differences between those roles?
Sure. So, and also, well, yes. So a medical assistant tends to only work in doctor's offices, for one. Nurses, of course, can do that and also work in more of a hospital setting. One of the main differences between us and nurses is that nurses can start IVs and administer IV medications, whereas medical assistants cannot. Nurses within the hospital setting have more of a hierarchy role compared to us. So we would take some orders from nurses as well as providers. But again, with us working in medical offices, most of our roles tend to overlap versus if we were in more of a hospital setting. In the doctor's office, we do have a couple of RNs. And the things that they can do that I can't do is if like a patient comes in for a blood pressure check and their blood pressure is elevated, they can then further assess the patient without having to get the provider. Whereas if the RN's not there, my next role after taking their blood pressure would be to go immediately and get the provider. Whereas the nurse could potentially give them medications or really, you know, delve into what may be causing this elevation more than I can. There are certain medications within the clinic that only the RNs can administer. That tends to be more of a, the company we work for's rules and regulations, though, because in other offices, that may not necessarily be the same. So again, based on the office that you work in, you follow their orders as well. But in the office setting, a lot of what we do, there is quite a bit of overlap. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Geez, Sydney, that was just a cool breakdown. Like, that was a perfect breakdown. I could hear the 24 years just coming out. Like,
no, for real.
But that was great. That was just a great breakdown.
Thank you.
So what are some of the highlights of working in this position, and what are some of the challenges that you find working in this position?
Ooh, child. Okay. So highlights are, especially I'll speak from a clinical role. I don't mind doing either administrative or clinically, but I prefer clinical. So highlights from a clinical role are that I get to work hands-on with the patients. I get to work really side by side with the provider. I really learn how they like things and want things, and we really start to gain a rhythm. I also build relationships with my patients and can follow them throughout their care, you know, and start to learn about them as a person and really see them as just, you know, as a person more than just a patient. Because I really like that. I want people to feel like, you know, you're coming to see our clinic, and we appreciate that because you have options to go anywhere. And with you coming to see us, we don't just look at you as a patient. I see you for who you are. So, you know, asking their family and their kids and, you know, just really learning about their history. Some of the downsides to a medical assistant is honestly pay. For a lot of the work, for the majority of the work. No, I'm sorry. I'm saying that incorrectly. For the amount of work that we do in the majority of offices that we will work in, the pay does not equal the work. There will be some offices where you may not do a heavy workload, but there may be others where you literally are doing everything. I was in a doctor's office where it was literally me and a provider. So I was front desk. I still was the nurse in the back, if you want to call it that. I was the person who put up all the, you know, supplies when they came in, and I did all the ordering. I literally did everything in that office. So it all depends on the type of setting that you're in. And honestly, it depends on, you know, who your providers are, because you really can gain a relationship with them because you do work so closely with them. But if you work with someone who is just not a nice person, it makes your job more difficult, and it makes coming to work more difficult, and it makes you being able to be the best version of yourself and giving the best care to your patient more difficult. So, you know, really making sure you're finding a place where you fit and what you're bringing to the table can truly shine and be appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
Hope I answered that.
Mm-hmm. No, that was really good.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me go on to my next question. My next question is,
sorry, Warren, cut this out. I just texted Kemi to ask you the next question. That's why we're sorry.
Yeah, Warren cut this out.
Yeah. Warren is Kemi's husband. He's our producer. He's our editor and producer. But I just texted Kemi. I threw her off. So that's my bad.
Oh, okay.
I know. I'm looking at the text. I was like, "What advice question?" I was like, "I had another question."
I'm sorry. Oh no. Whichever one.
So sorry, the next question that I wanted to ask was, what do you think, what are kind of the characteristics that go into this position? So if you wanted to name someone who would be the ideal person for this position, what would be like the qualities and the characteristics that this person should have?
Caring, because you really have to care for your patients. A good personality, and honestly, being very flexible and not taking things to heart. Because, you know, a patient may come in and they're not feeling well, and they may be a little more gruff or abrupt than what they normally would be. And you have to realize it's not you. You know what I'm saying? It's whatever they may be dealing with. Or your provider may come in and, you know, we all have home life things that are going on. So they may, you know, take that on to you because you're the closest person to them. So really just, you know, making sure you're strong within yourself and who you are as well. And just, yeah, most importantly, caring about what you're about to present and the care that you're about to give to these patients, because, you know, they're seeking you for a reason. You know what I'm saying? They're coming to you for a reason. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I can ask the next one. So I want you to talk about PA school journey in a minute, but just for the medical assistant, what advice would you give somebody that's interested in becoming a medical assistant, or this conversation has been really interesting to them? What would you tell them?
that I truly have enjoyed being a medical assistant for the years that I've done it. I've worked in some really great offices. Again, the fact that you do get a bit of autonomy is really nice. It will be office dependent, but you know, the fact that, again, the schooling can be very short and you can make a career out of this. There are other companies and things that utilize medical assistants even in a different way. Like for the company I'm currently working for, their pharmacist of kind of like the whole company is a medical assistant. So any office that calls in with a pharmacy question, they're talking to a medical assistant. So I thought that was actually pretty cool that they utilize, you know, us in that way, because most people do not. You know, when you think of the hierarchy, you would think that would be like an RN or something like that. Just shows that there is flexibility even within our field. We don't have to be boxed into just being in a doctor's office.
I always love when people say like, oh, you can do like this career anywhere. I would have never done that either, but it is good for anyone listening or anyone that's interested just to be like, you don't, like you said, you don't have to be confined to like one specific thing. There's other roles. And that's why I'm gonna say it again, do your research, because you really just never know like what career can be like across different fields. You really just never know. So that's good, because I had no idea about working as a pharmacist, like working in a pharmacy too.
No.
That's cool. Okay. So my favorite part, now I want to ask Cindy about, I want you to talk about your journey to PA school, because this is where I met you. And I had the honor of writing Cindy's, like one of her reference letters for PA school. And I wrote it, I don't know if you write it or not, but I remember when I met Cindy, she was like, no nonsense. And I think she was like, she already knew what she wanted to do. She already had her plan. She just was like, I just need to see an advisor. I don't really, you know, need to talk to you. Cause she like literally already knew what she was doing. And so I was like, okay, she'd give me run for my money. But by the end of it, I think I broke Cindy down, because we're here today. I think I broke her down, because she came in like she was serious, but God had a bigger plan, because we're here today. We are friends, and she's just done really well. So I think, Kemi, you asked at the beginning, but just to like back up a little bit. So medical assisting is like, can either be a diploma program or associate's degree. You don't have to go get a bachelor's degree. They probably don't even offer a bachelor's degree in medical assistant, because again, it's a shorter program. And so you're not having to take 4 years of school. So again, if you're listening, that's a plus. You don't have to be in school for a long time, and I'll let Cindy explain too, but she is now, so 2018, you started your associate's degree. So she got an associate in science degree, and that was to get her gen eds to get her bachelor's degree, to then go on to PA school. So I'll let you kind of explain. I just wanted to like break it down, but I'll let you kind of explain like where your decision came in to go to PA school, and then what that process has been for you, and what the next steps are.
Sure. So my decision came, honestly, a long time ago, when I was working at the dermatology office, because that was kind of the first time I'd ever really met a PA. I grew up in a very small town in Morganton, and we didn't go to the doctor a lot when we were sick and little and stuff. So only thing I knew was doctor, and I knew that was not what I wanted to be. So coming down here working, I was like, oh, well, these people are not really doctors, and y'all didn't go to school for that long, but y'all do the same thing. So started doing my research, started getting intrigued, but honestly, truth is, I let fear keep me from going back many, many, many years ago. Met my husband. We got married. He went back to school since we've been together. I watched him graduate from Belmont Abbey. And the day he graduated in May. I said, I'm starting school in the fall. I'm no longer letting fear hold me back. And that's exactly what I
did. Amen.
So, decided that PA was it. Didn't really know completely what the process looked like, but I had started doing some research, knew the classes that I had to take as a requirement to even be considered as an applicant. So had to make sure that those got put in somewhere. Looked into CPCC to do my 2 years, because I still needed to work full time. Just finding to be able to support my family. And then met my friend over here, who was my first year advisor. Was very nervous because I was an older student, didn't know what that would look like, didn't want to necessarily be the mama in the class, but was like, I'm still not like going to let that stop me. And so I did my 2 years at CPCC, graduated there in 2022 with my associates, applied to UNC Charlotte, where I currently am, and will be graduating there in May of 24 with my bachelor's in sociology. Mm-hmm. I chose sociology, even though that's not a typical field that most people apply to PA school go for, but I chose it because most people do like biology or things like that as their major. A lot of those classes, if I'm being truthful, just were not interesting to me, even though I love science as far as medicine. I didn't want to take, you know, animal biology and all these, like, they just weren't intriguing. Mm-hmm. So sociology gave me enough to get my classes for my degree, but it had a lot of elective space in it. So it allowed me to get my prereqs for PA school still in there and get, you know, be able to graduate with the number of credits required. So I kind of did use them to do two birds, one stone.
Mm-hmm.
So I applied in August of this year to two schools. With applying to PA school, it is a lot of work because you have to, again, go based off each program's requirements as far as their prereqs that they require. And some require a heavier load than others do. So I applied to two to where that I met their requirements, which would be Elon and Lenore Ryan and Hickory. You have to get four letters of recommendation. You have to pay the application fees. You have to do a personal statement. And then you also have to do like a resume. And then some of them even have a supplemental application where you have to answer these other essays and things. So each school kind of does their own thing. So all depends on what they want. Then after that goes off, it goes in this database called CASPA, which is this national database for PA application space. Then the schools get them and then they weed you out of the hundreds of thousands of applications that they get. And you prayerfully are one of the lucky ones that even get an interview to come to the school and meet with the faculty and staff for the interview. And then based off that, they either extend an acceptance or a denial. But even getting the interview is, you know, a thank God moment in itself, because again, thousands apply and most classes only have anywhere between 35 and 90 students.
Yeah, it's a journey. Yeah, like I said, I thought about it and I was like, ooh, but it's a lot. But yeah, Cindy definitely persevered. What'd you say?
There's still time. Come on, join me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. yeah. That's all. I'm just going to nod my head and say, mm-hmm. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe we'll see what God has in store, for real. But something else I wanted to mention too, Cindy mentioned like the prerequisites. A lot of PA schools do require, is it patient care or like healthcare hours? I don't know what the term. Okay. Yeah. Yes, no, you're fine.
Course. Or okay, experience, PCE.
Thank you. I knew it was an E in there. I didn't know. Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Patient care experience. So Cindy's 24 years of medical assistant career, yes, probably like was like probably well above and beyond what you needed, yes, for PA school. But just know, yeah, PA school, that helped her. So like, if you're thinking about PA school, you know, you probably most, if not all schools are going to require that you have the patient care experience. And yes, if you're not sure what a PA is, I'm going to always stutter this word because it's such a weird word. Physician assistant. Oh, I got it.
Yep.
Is what a PA stands for. And if you're interested in PA, we interviewed Cole Turno. Was that last year or this year, Kemi? I don't know.
That was last year. Yeah, last year.
The years are blending together. But Cole is currently working as a PA. So if you're intrigued about what that profession is, you can listen to that episode, How to Become a PA. But Cindy's on her way to PA school. And it's like 24 months. That'll be...
Yes, it is. Well, depending on the program. So they're anywhere from 24 to about 27, 28.
Okay. So yeah, you just been like going back, like Cindy's been going to school for the last, well, I guess since 2018.
Yes.
And just until. So she's doing the thing for real, for sure. You're almost there though. You're like, you're almost there.
Mm-hmm. I know you're go, girl. There.
Yeah, she is an inspiration.
And I feel like too, like this is for listeners out there, they're like, oh, that seems too long. It seems like too long of a program. Like, well, what else are you going to be doing during those three years? What else are you going to be doing? So I was thinking of you wish you started. Just start now. Just do it.
Your God's ears. That is literally what I've been saying. My motivation. The time will pass. Do I want it to be being productive or me being like, I wish I would have.
Yeah, I feel like the I wish I would have is always, it always hits harder to be like, man, if I mean, the amount of times I said that trying to like eat right and exercise, I always tell some, I could have by this time. I mean, what I wanted to be.
Could have had the muscles already.
Right.
I'm just saying.
But this has been a great episode. Very informative. I'm really excited for a lot of our listeners to hear this, whether they are students that are in high school trying to figure out, or even just potential pivoters that maybe want to pivot out of their current job to maybe do a medical assisting, because it sounds like this is an option as well and doable too in terms of time, I believe too. But thank you so much for allowing us to interview you. To all of our listeners out there, make sure you check out our website, www.youradvisorswillseeyounow. Check out all of our social media handles at Yoswyn Podcast. So that's Yawsyn Podcast at TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. Just go out there, find us. You can also feel free to email us at yawsynpodcast@gmail.com if you have any requests for different career chats that you want to hear, or if maybe you want to be interviewed on our podcast as well. But until then, we'll see you in the next one.
See you.
Bye.
Thank you everyone for tuning in and listening to the latest episode of Your Advisors Will See You Now. Please make sure to follow us on all of our social media pages and check out our website. Take a look at the show notes below.
And please make sure to subscribe and share this podcast. Also, show us some love and please leave a 5-star review. Catch you next time.
See ya.